Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
What's that thing that gets said about Guardiola? He'll get you to the final third, but you've got to put the ball into the net yourself. Turns out he'll get City practically to the goal line. There's no guarantee that the ball will cross it. Well, not between the posts anyway. And a point that Crystal Palace seems to have knocked everyone's confidence because of that. If you thought that everything wasn't going to come crashing down to that game between City and Liverpool in April, then you just don't know football for me. Buckle up, everyone. It's going to be fun. Of course it isn't, who are we kidding? Welcome to this week's Why Always Us. This is your Manchester City podcast from The Athletic. I'm a rather hoarse David Mooney. With me is Sam Lee.
Yeah, hello.
How are you doing, mate?
Travel lodge in East Croydon.
Good.
As you know, heads were falling off before the game, during the game, and after the game. So it's going to be my role again today to be like, look, there's 9 games left.
Are we here to calm everything down, or are we going to just stoke the fire a little bit? Because I'm not sure where I stand at the moment. So,
Look, if you want to stoke the fire a bit, then by all means, because me and you could easily sit here and say, that was all right. But, and people listen to it and they go, what are you talking about? What about this? But not even in a ridiculous way, just in a you haven't really put my view across kind of way. So if you are annoyed about it, then by all means, crack on.
Well, before we do get into the nuts and bolts of the show, I just want to give people a little behind the scenes action, because I'm kind of glad we waited to record this show now, Sam, because of everything that happened against Palace. But we were going to do this before the game. I've got COVID. Sam, you were disastrously hungover after a few nights out in a row. I just want to play the voice note exchange that we had on Sunday morning.
Morning, mate. I sound like this, so what's the fucking point? Should we just do it Tuesday?
Funnily enough, I was going to message because I feel like shit. So, let's do it Tuesday.
There we are. So, any improvement now?
I don't know. My voice still sounds similar. But also, it would have been a nice, fun, flowery podcast of dancing around the issues and going, post-derby, everything's fine, blah, 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 blah. And now it's all shit. So it's completely different. I suppose without further ado, let's get into the Palace game.
Yeah. If you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, you can read all of our articles on City as well as everything else on the site by going to theathletic.com/ManCityPod. Right now, you can sign up for a special price of just £1 per month for 6 months. Just go to theathletic.com/ManCityPod for details. So let's start with the big picture, shall we, Sam? The situation at the top of the table.
I don't know what the big picture is.
Well, it's the situation at the top of the table, because a point at Palace keeps City top. Even if they'd lost, they weren't going to not be top, but there was a possibility that on Wednesday night they would be overtaken by Liverpool. Now that can't happen, but it could happen by the time that City next play in the league. City still have the advantage. It's very slight. City can make 97 points, Liverpool 96. It's all on that game at the Etihad now, isn't it?
No. Because it's quite soon, isn't it, that game at the Etihad?
It's alarmingly soon, yeah.
And whoever wins it, you think, okay, that's fine now. And there's loads of games. I'll tell you what. And this is it, right? So my article this morning, we talked about a load of the things about the game that we will talk about here. But it's not my job to kind of be desperate on behalf of City fans. It's not my job to kind of tell City fans it'll be all right. Like when we were talking about is the title won after the Chelsea game or even before that, I was like, well, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
It's like, well, at Brentford, Guardiola was like, there's 54 points to play for. And it's like, oh, people are like, oh, he's just playing it down, isn't he? He's like, no, he's fucking, like, that is true. Like, that is true. So I suppose the only thing I can say about that game being pivotal, it was probably around April the 10th that City played Liverpool in 2014 and Liverpool won. And it was on at that point the title was destined for Merseyside, and then obviously this slip happened. Like it's not even set up for that. It'll be a huge game, but it's not even going to decide everything. Look, yeah. If City were to drop points against Burnley and Liverpool beat Arsenal and Watford and then City, you think right, okay,
problem.
It's not looking good. You certainly couldn't say it's looking good, but it still wouldn't be over. But that's worst case scenario. Like we've when he said big picture, I don't know what the big picture is. I don't know if City are playing poorly, and if you zoom out over the last 2-3 months, you'll see a team that have hit a peak for whatever reason and are now coming down. That's been suggested. I don't know if that's true. What you'd have to say is Liverpool look in the better form, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but it just seems like, just in terms of feeling and mood, which has obviously been the case since last night, and you know, the mood, the players looked just devastated after the game last night. It looked like they had lost it on the final day. So the mood's not bad, just kind of around at the moment. But it always just feels like Liverpool feel like they're going to win every game, and City fans feel like they're going to lose every game. So it really doesn't help that kind of swing of momentum. Because I'm led to believe that everybody was really worried about the game yesterday. Because I was on the train down with Jack, and he was like, God, everyone's like really... I was like, everyone's always worried, mate. I was like, all I heard before the Everton game, and look, the Spurs game, and look, maybe people have got reason, because over those three games, City haven't played particularly well. I think last night was probably the best performance out of
Yeah, I thought they played well last night.
And you know, maybe people have got reason to worry and be nervous and think everything's going to fall down, but I'm pretty sure this happens every time. And thinking back to that 18-19 season, going into every game, it was the same. And as soon as Liverpool got a win, it was, oh God, they're going to do it. So you're going to mess it up. And I feel like that's the place we're at now.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing we need to kind of... Sunday will be interesting, because if Southampton give it a go like they have done in the Premier League, it'll be a good little test for City.
To find out where things are at.
Them to see where they're at, for us to see where they're at. And look, I suppose if they win 3-0 and Southampton don't put up much of a fight, you'll say, oh, well, we didn't really learn anything. But maybe they have learned anything and they've played better. But it feels like a free hit in the sense that, look, everybody wants to win the FA Cup. But speaking this morning, if I was to say, well, they lose on Sunday, but they win the Premier League, you would take it 100 times out of 100. So, yeah, the opportunity to play Southampton, obviously, is basically another Palace, a team that's given them problems this season, to see where they're at. But even if they were to not win, or let's say they win on penalties or something, which would have been drop points in the Premier League, it's just an opportunity to see where they're at, because I'm not convinced that there is some big slide going on. But it's fair to say that whatever is happening at the minute can't carry on.
Yeah, I know
for
what you
reason
mean.
Or another, because they weren't. I don't think they were bad last night. If you want to bring up the frustrations with the performance, then please do. But overall, I think I can't complain, because if Bernardo Silva's studs were longer, then we'd be saying they were great.
Well, we'll come to the frustrations a bit later on, because I basically collated a load of tweets that I was tagged in at various points, and I apologise to these people, because they didn't send them in specifically to be used on the show, but they kind of illustrate a few of the points and talking points from the game. So we'll come to them in a second. The one thing I do want to say, Sam, is that in a weird way, when you think back to that Spurs game and the way that City fought, I mean, I thought City were really not good against Spurs. And then they fought the way back into it. They got that late penalty. Huh. Mahrez stepped up and scored it in that really pressured environment. And I think I'm sure I said it on the podcast after that one. Like, it's absolutely criminal at that stage to have played that badly, got yourself into it so late on, and lose the game. And I also think when you kind of reflect on how things went at Selhurst Park, I think it would have been absolutely criminal had City, like somebody, Dom Farrell said to me after the game, that it was screaming, the Sunderland away game where Gidon 1 scored in the final, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, they had an attack at the end, and I was like, no. Don't throw this one away now. When they got to the box, I started to think suddenly a point's a good result.
Yeah, and like I said to the WhatsApp group on about...
Hold on. Which WhatsApp group?
This is my WhatsApp group of City fans.
Not the media agenda.
Not the media agenda one. No, I keep quiet in that one quite a lot.
It's not the morning for this, is it? Sorry.
No, it's not. It's all right. But it's a bit of fun. It's fine. So I just said to the WhatsApp group on about 65, 70 minutes. I just said, you know what? A point isn't a disaster. Because just simply because it was one of those occasions where, like, City were not playing badly as far as I could tell. They were, you know, when City, you get that impression, don't you, when City are not going to score, they play as if they're not going to score. And it's like they pass it, pass it, pass it, don't really create anything. City created a number of gilt-edged chances that they just, for whatever reason, didn't put in the net. Like you said, Bernardo Silva's studs were longer. He'd have scored probably three times in that mix. That, to me, was screaming that that wasn't a bad performance. It was just, you know, call it what you want. Call it bad luck in front of goal. Call it poor finishing. Call it, you know, wastefulness, whatever. Like, whatever that is, you kind of... That doesn't happen every time City drop points. That is it's a new way to drop points. It's a bit of a freak result. And so you flip it on the other way around and you say, well, if City go on and lose that game, suddenly the door is a lot more open for Liverpool because, you know, as I said at the start of the show, City can make 97, Liverpool can make 96. Lose that game, it's 96 each, and it's a title on it's a potential for goal difference again into this. And it means that going into that game at the Etihad between City and Liverpool, the one where the pressure really is on, and I know you're talking about that there's so many more points to play for kind of after this, but still going into that game, City know that they can keep the control of the title race by not having to go all out to get the win like they had to in 2018-19 or so. Like you look at that game.
But they will.
They will still go for the win. And I'm not sitting here suggesting that Guardiola will look at that game.
No, but I suppose maybe if it's the last 5 or 10 minutes, not going to push.
Yeah, exactly that. And there's a lot less kind of. There's much more of a need for Liverpool to do that than there is for City to do that at this stage. And that's why you come out of that game, you dust yourself down, you go, okay, a point's not a disaster. We take the point and move on. There's plenty more still to play for this season. The performance didn't scream to me like things are going disastrously wrong.
No, it didn't. And you've
got out of a tough away game without, you know, getting beat in the final minute like it has happened in the past and like it might have happened. And, you know, you kind of dust yourself down and move on. There's plenty more still to play for. And that's why I don't know if I'm feeling chipper or upbeat or if, you know, it's the effect that COVID's had on my brain. But it just feels like I understand the reaction to the result. I just think it's a little bit premature.
I mean, yeah, I understand it, but I also disagree with it. But fundamentally, I do understand it. Like, I kind of get the frustrations. I think the overall thing about this was, if this result had happened in like November or something, we probably wouldn't have even done a podcast on the game.
Yeah.
We might have had Nadem on to talk about something else. We'd have done City in the Media or, you know, contract extensions or whatever. Because you just go, okay, well, it was 0-0, but City could have won. So
yeah, but now we're in the running. So
because it's now the end of the season, it has to be, or do they need a striker? Is this part of a wider thing? And this is what I don't know. I can't work it out. I feel like there is a need to search for deeper meanings.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced at the minute, and I may be wrong. I'm not convinced at the minute that there are deeper meanings. What I will say with a striker is I've backed myself into a ridiculous corner where it's all semantics and bullshit. But I mean, fundamentally, at the start of the season, I remember thinking, if they'd got Kane, and I don't know if I said this on a podcast, but if they'd got Kane, they would have won the league easily. And I may have been wrong, but that's what I thought. And I was like, without Kane, they could still win the league, but it'll be harder. And maybe that's what we're seeing now. It is harder. But I can't still say that they need, in the strictest sense of the word, a striker. And I didn't even think that in the summer either when they were signing Kane. I was like, it'd be great if they do. But they've just won the league and got to the Champions League final. And they've got to where they are now, playing without a striker. So, I mean, can it be possible that they suddenly miss a striker now, but they didn't miss a striker a month ago?
Yeah.
I can't work it out. I just think they played well and should have scored.
How early can Erling Haaland make the trip?
I was gonna take last night. Get Haaland on now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to comment on that too much because I had 3 or 4 days off, not just from work, but basically my own life over the weekend. Like you said, 3 nights out in a row, absolutely unprecedented behaviour. So I deleted Twitter on the Friday morning. I was in the pub on Friday night and it was in the Blue Moon WhatsApp group talking about it. I was like,
good.
Sheikh Mansour could have come to Manchester and like sacked Guardiola and you ain't getting me on the phone over the weekend. But my usual caution of they're in a very good position, it turns out.
Yeah.
But if you think I'm going to be preparing content a la Dani Alves, Lionel Messi, Alexis Sanchez.
You've got another thing coming.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, the Haaland thing's interesting, isn't it? But I suppose now, after the result last night, it kind of helps focus minds on, look, let's take care of this season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, worry about big robot boy and how he fits in the summer if it comes to that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I'm going to run through the problems from last night, according to Twitter, Sam, if that's all right. First up, Darren Watson said, I can't wait to hear your analysis of that. Defensively, I thought we were in control, but Foden is wasted down the middle. No substitutions or tactical changes when several players were struggling for form. Just want to add into that, Ken McCarthy said, how Pep didn't change it, even with 10 to go, is unbelievable again. The substitutions thing is winding people up, but I can kind of I can really see why he didn't do it last night, because he's looking at it going like the rhythm in the, like, he doesn't want to upset the rhythm in the game, does he? That's, I'm guessing that's what your answer is going to be and what he said.
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, it's like I understand the frustration with it, but I disagree with it. But I disagree with it to a lesser extent, because I was looking at it, maybe even in the first half. But certainly in the second, I'm just thinking, if he were to bring Sterling on for Mahrez at some point. No, that was it, because somebody messaged me and said, do you think someone needs to change? I was like, not necessarily. They're creating a lot of chances. But I suppose Sterling for Mahrez, and then, sorry, Sterling for Grealish. And the more it went on, I was like, you know, Sterling might just win a penalty. You know, it's just something a bit more direct on that side,
yeah,
past a couple of people. Obviously, you know, ideally, cut inside and put it in the bottom corner. But if not that, a penalty. So, yeah, I was thinking that. I suppose you could just say Jesus to change things up. It's what Guardiola said was the game was at a high rhythm, and I think this isn't just a Guardiola galaxy brain thing. It's, you know, you speak to footballers and managers, you know, there are certain games where, you know, you need time to get up to speed. But I think where the kind of galaxy brain thing comes into it with Pep is, in that time to get up to speed, if you don't connect properly with a teammate and you give the ball away in a dangerous area. And a dangerous area in these games is like 35, 40 yards from their goal.
I was going to say, we've seen it in City games this season where they've given the ball away on the edge of the opposition box, and that's been a dangerous...
And it's been a problem. So, I mean, I think Guardiola's just thinking that whether he brings on Sterling, whether he brings on... Well, whoever. You know, if he's thinking they're going to be not up to the pace of the game and give the ball away in a dangerous area, then that's going to contribute to Palace scoring just as much as it could contribute to City scoring, which is possibly a more negative kind of approach to football than Guardiola's famous for.
Well, I just wondered,
because he does play attacking football, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I just wondered if he...
The whole enigma is he plays attacking football in a very defensive way. Like, it's all about control, isn't it? We know this.
Yeah, I just wonder if he's more kind of... When you look at how his in-game management, like, I think his pre-game management is so... He's kind of so focused on tactics and what they're going to do to break down the opposition. But then his in-game management, I think, is so much more about not upsetting the rhythm of his team and not necessarily making any tactical changes and changing the approach to the game.
Depends, doesn't it? Because sometimes if it needs changing, I mean, poor old Raheem. It seems like the last couple of times that Sterling's been subbed, it's been after an hour. It's like, hold on, Pep doesn't take anyone off for ages. And he's taken Sterling off a couple of times early, which is an interesting one. But yeah, I mean, I suppose to try and understand his viewpoint, it's what more could they have done to score a goal? I mean, the last 5 minutes or so, and then stoppage time was a bit of a shambles, wasn't it? There was loose balls everywhere, and I get that builds frustration as well.
Yeah.
If you're trying to clip a ball in behind, it just rolls out of play for a goal kick or a throw, and it's just the worst. And then you give away a foul trying to stop and counter attacking, and it's just
each time you give an opportunity to waste 20 seconds, 30 seconds.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so frustrating. So I get the frustrations around that, but he would have been thinking, look, what more can we do to score a goal here? Like you said at the start, you know, he doesn't just get them to the final third anymore. He gets them basically to the 6-yard box. And the probability of City winning that game by carrying on as they were was probably still quite high. And then it probably comes into Guardiola's risk versus reward there. And he was probably thinking, if I bring on a sub, it could go either way. Whereas I'm quite happy now as we are that we're not going to lose and we've got a good chance of winning. That margin,
yeah,
that margin of possibility that they might lose would probably increase in Guardiola's mind if he'd made that sub. So look, we can say that's ridiculous. You should go for it. You know, we're in a title race here. We need to do it. But this is my point with Guardiola, and it's the same thing with his team selections in cup games, and you know, not playing youngsters. So obviously, last week we've not talked since the Sporting game. But when he brought Carson on, I was like, oh mate, there's all the pretense now that you're taking this seriously, and there's no kind of gratuitous minutes. And I don't want to be disrespectful to Carson because, you know, his teammates and. There was a Ben Foster interview. They say he's still a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, he's not played in the cup games. He's not the number two. He only played previously to exactly the minute as the league title was won. He played him at Newcastle last season. So he only gets played in these kind of games, which mean absolutely nothing. So if you're gonna play people who mean in games that mean absolutely nothing, put Delap on for 15 minutes. Put Luke and Betty on for 15 minutes. But see, this is my frustration with it. But the kind of logic that creeps in is. Guardiola has been doing it this way for years to keep the senior players fresh. And so if Mbete didn't come on for 15 minutes, it's probably because Laporte, according to the sports science, would have needed an extra 15 minutes to keep him in good nick. And there was a lot of rest between the Palace game and this. But all of this, and the overall point is, Guardiola's use of subs, I mean, I'm opening up to an example here that proves me wrong. Has it ever cost City a trophy? Has it cost them a Premier League? It certainly has cost them a Premier League. Has it cost them a cup game because he's not made subs? I mean, he might have got the approach wrong from the start in the opinion of whoever's listening to this. You know, the FA Cup semi against Chelsea last year, people say he wished he'd played a stronger team. But, you know, after Dortmund, I don't think that was possible. But I don't think the subs has been a major issue. And it's the same thing with playing the youngsters. It'd be great if he played more youngsters. But the overall approach has been geared towards making sure that the senior players are ready. And if City are going for four trophies basically every season, right until the end, they need everyone. So this approach that Guardiola uses has been so good for City. I don't think you can suddenly start tweaking little things and saying, I wish he was better at making subs, or I wish he was more adventurous when he was making subs, or I wish he'd just play a youngster here and a youngster there. Those would be nice. But I realised this yesterday when Kyle Walker, particularly in the second half, kept getting the ball on the right-hand side. I was like, oh God, imagine he could cross. Like, imagine he could put a ball in. And I thought, you can't just say that about players.
Yeah.
Because then he could say, I wish João Cancelo was as fast as Kyle Walker. And I wish, I don't know, like Raheem Sterling was a bit better at one-on-ones. You know, for all the goals he scored, you start saying, can he just do this? And can he just do that? That's where you get to Messi and Ronaldo level. And nobody's that. You can't just say you're in danger
of trying to build the perfect player there, aren't you?
Exactly. You can't say, how many times is that? People say about, whoever it is, if he could just find consistency. So, yeah, but he can't and he won't because
that's him. That's his game.
What consistency are you expecting? That's his game. And also, what consistency are you expecting? Because if he does this, 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 and this every week, he's going to be winning the Ballon d'Or. But not every player is going to do that. That's why prizes exist. And that's the thing with Pep. It's like, no manager's perfect.
I've just galaxy brained that and got to, I wish I could save more shots.
Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, nobody is perfect. But I mean, Pep's pretty fucking close. Like, you look at the, I was on TV on Thursday talking about Lukaku and Chelsea. And I was like, maybe Tuchel just doesn't know how to use a striker like Lukaku, maybe. Like, I don't know, but it's a talking point. Like, over his career, maybe, again, you could point out this is bollocks, but at Chelsea, you think, why is Lukaku having so few touches? Why does Tuchel prefer to play with a false nine? And the thing is with Pep, he prefers to play with a false nine now, but he played with Aguero for years, so he can do both. And you think Tuchel's great. I don't think it's controversial to say he's not as good as Pep. I don't think he is as good as Pep because Pep's fucking unbelievable. And Tuchel's very good. And okay, he got the better of him in the Champions League final. That can certainly happen. But you just think, is that the issue with Lukaku there? Can he not quite be integrated into that? And then you think, Pep could do both. And I appreciate this might be a bit galaxy brain on my part, but the whole point is we can sit here and say, I wish Guardiola would do that. I wish Guardiola would do that. But it's kind of, it's part of an overall approach. And if you say you wish he took more risks or was less careful, you might not have had City get into the Champions League final last year. And maybe, you know, they won't get to the Champions League final in the future if he takes more risks. You know, I wish he played more youngsters. And that'd be great. It really would. And I'm sure there probably have been times when he could have just put them on. But if it's meant keeping Kyle Walker at top condition for the next game, that's probably worth it as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's been a long conversation on the subs, but that's kind of where I'm at with it. And I wish it was one of those things we could ask Guardiola and say, why do you do that? And they'd just sit down and say,
here's
and
why.
Kind of yeah, just yeah. talk about it and actually say, well, this, you know, this is what I think. This is my approach to the game. And
but if after, did this, after a result like last night, but it sounds like but yeah,
he's just not going to. But after a result like that, but even if I was to go along on Friday and ask, it would still be kind of be the same kind of thing. I mean, I remember asking him about, with the same intentions after the Manchester derby last season that was 0-0, I wanted to be like, look, Pep, like, what is it about the subs? Because people were annoyed about it then as well, weren't they?
Yeah, well,
but he was just kind of like, don't be a dickhead, Sam, kind of thing. So, fine.
Duncan Alexander from Opta tweeted last night, instances of making zero substitutions in a Premier League game since project restart in June 2020. Pep Guardiola four times, Sean Dyche twice, six managers once. So he's by far the front runner. The man who's demanding five subs.
I'd love to see those games.
I
think that was the thing I asked him about as well, which is obviously poking the bear a bit more. But it's like, look, you say you want five subs. And then you don't make any. It's not even a criticism. It's just how can you balance that off against each other? It's not even the ones where, because no subs I get. We talked about why he didn't make any subs at Old Trafford is because he didn't want to lose. He didn't want to open it up.
Yeah.
Especially at that point when City weren't as solid, he didn't want to open it up. And it's that risk averse thing again, which it's the
Champions League first leg at Spurs where he makes two subs on 89 minutes. And it's like, why?
Yeah. Or it's just in terms of since the restart, it's like games where he makes one change or two. So, exactly. Are you ever convinced that he would make five subs unless it was like 4-0?
No, not at all.
No chance. But I get when he doesn't make any.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX, stream on Hulu.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Chris on Twitter says, all this does is not allow us a bad draw later on. A draw versus Liverpool is still favourable for City. Doesn't help Liverpool. A loss tonight blows that because of goal difference. Also, if Liverpool win their last 18 matches, maybe they deserve it. So I can see them still rubbering away to somebody.
Yeah. It won't make that pill any easier to swallow if that does happen. But I looked at Liverpool's running in 2018-19 because everyone knows. Oh God, I wish everyone could stop talking about that, myself included. But we just can't, can you? Because it's just such a good frame of reference.
Well, yeah.
Everyone knows City won 14 games in a row. I looked at Liverpool's, but they won 9. You think it's not? Obviously, that's obviously why they didn't win it in the end, because there was too many drop points before that. But obviously, they're getting into the territory now where they have got 10 games left. And if they were to do that, you'd have to say fair enough. But I mean, look, again, there's no point even really getting to that bridge, because I'm sure it's going to change so many times before that.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I know we, like you say, we keep using that 18-19 as a frame of reference, but I said it about Liverpool in 13-14 as well. You know, if they had to that year, they had to win 14 in a row to see off the title. And I was like, if you put a run together like that, then, you know, fair play to you. That's the thing.
The bigger picture, I think. Sorry, just saying that is, does it look like City are going to win their last 14? Obviously, there's not 14, but well, if you include the Champions League, there is. But does it look like City are going to win all those games like they did 3 years ago?
Well, this
isn't at the minute, and I don't know why.
Well, this is the next question, because David Hartley said, it would be great to discuss City's recent form on the next podcast. It feels like it's been a bit samey and laboured since the new year, and I can't put my finger on what's going wrong. Is it mentality, application, lack of flexibility? I'm a bit lost.
Well, exactly. This is the thing. We start searching for these answers now that, you know, obviously we weren't searching for after beating United, because it looks like they've all gone away. But they play well last night. And again, if they'd have taken the chances that they, Palace, you could say, deserved a draw, but if City had have scored, it wouldn't have been lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and again, we wouldn't have been talking about, maybe we should have been, but we wouldn't have been talking about those kind of things. But yeah, since New Year, they haven't been firing on all cylinders, but they've certainly been good enough by and large. But this is the kind of, ironically, given what was said about Liverpool and not being able to drop points over Christmas, and this shows the state of the league. It's almost like it's the state of the league now, the state of Liverpool and being that good.
Well, City get one draw
and it feels like the end of the world. It's like the whole thing's flipped in the space of 2 months, which is why, I'm saying there's plenty of time left, because it's already flipped once, it can flip again.
Yeah, but, since the turn of the year, I mean, not even that, since the 22nd of January, City have dropped 7 points, and it's like, that's not actually a disastrous run of form. It's just that Liverpool have not dropped a point.
If you look at the games where they've dropped points, or let's say Everton as well, played against a team that was basically with a back five. And Palace didn't have a back five like Everton, but they were very, very difficult to break through. And then at that point, certainly with Southampton, certainly with Spurs, you say, well, they just defended really well. They did make that difficult. So obviously it was going to be harder for City. But then you think, City have played teams like this all season, and it's not been a problem previously. So why is it a problem now? And that's why, about the striker thing, it's like, well, they didn't need a striker before. Do they need one now? Why would that suddenly change? In terms of it being desire and motivation, like, can you see them starting the season so well, having won the league and got to the Champions League final last year, and like just like complacency, obviously not a thing, and then get to like being ahead and thinking it's done now? Like that's just not how these players think. It's not how they work.
Yeah, I tell you the reason that I've just kind of looked at the results in kind of in the Premier League in isolation, and I tell you the reason why I think the narrative went the way it did over Christmas. It's because the run went like this: 14th of December, City 7, Leeds 0. 19th of December, Newcastle 0, City 4. 26th of December, City 6, Leicester 3. So City were battering teams at that point, and In the weeks since, in that relentless Liverpool run, while City have been winning games, it's been Brentford 0, City 1, Arsenal 1, City 2, City 1, Chelsea 0, you know, City 2, Brentford 0. It's been really, really tight and hard fought games that City have been winning, and suddenly
there's been some good games in there.
Yeah. I'm not disputing that, but I think suddenly what happens is, from an outsider's point of view, you go, oh, 1-0, it's that was a tight, hard fought game. And yeah, not yeah, City. City are battering them, running away with it like they were at Christmas. And when Liverpool dropped their 2 points at Chelsea, that ruled them out of the title race. That we all said, you know, why are you reacting to this too early? And heads fell off everywhere. The situation was exactly the same as City dropping their 2 points at Crystal Palace last night. It's just it's the wider context of how these results are viewed. And yeah, City have beaten United 4-1. They've beaten Norwich 4-0 in that run as well. But they almost don't count towards it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's easy for people to say, oh, well, this, you know, Southampton and Spurs. Well, there have been games in between. You can't just write off wins. But I don't know, maybe you can. I don't know. Is it a case that if this, no, this can't be true. But if the game's easy like Norwich, then of course they're gonna win. But as soon as a team sits and defends, it's tricky. Like, I don't know.
But, I don't think that's particularly galaxy brain stuff. I think that's like it's kind of natural to expect City to struggle against a team that's sitting deep, like Everton did, or you know, like Brentford did.
Yeah,
I'm just trying
to work out why now.
I'm just talking about the kind of the narrative of the season. I think that's why it builds into it. The fact that if City were winning these games 7-0, 4-0, 6-3 at this stage in the season, I think we would all feel a lot more comfortable than they are right now. And it's just simply because of the ease of which they're playing. It just so happens that they hit Newcastle, Leeds and Leicester in three games. And, yeah. You know, it's like that. You don't always get that run. And when you look at the run in for City to come next, I mean, it's Burnley next, and that's traditionally been a really easy away game, hasn't it? never been a tight one in a title race.
Yeah. Well, obviously we've talked about that Burnley game being one of the tensest ever, but like Burnley, the funny thing is, when I saw Burnley, it was 3 o'clock on a Saturday. I was like, well, that's 3 points. There's no extra pressure there. If they'd moved that to Monday night, you'd be thinking, bloody hell. And I thought that was the issue with the Palace. If you put that in early on a Saturday or something, City might have won. It isn't me finding excuses. It's just how the pressure can affect people's thinking. I'm sure it didn't affect the players' thinking. But in terms of, you know, the City fans,
we've had to stew on this all weekend, Monday night,
it makes it harder. But I saw Burnley away at 3 p.m. I was like, that's a right touch for City to be 3 o'clock on a Saturday. But look, Burnley hasn't been a fortress against big teams for a while. I think there's a record out there that they haven't taken points off a big team in ages. So obviously cute against City. But yeah, the thing is, as well, at this stage of the season, the games are close by design. Like, you could see City were patient last night. You know, when Guardiola and Mahrez after the derby talked about being patient, you can see it. Because there was opportunities normally over the left in the first half, where like the ball's like either bouncing or they get the, like Cancelo gets the ball first time from Bernardo. He can just flick it forward toward Grealish. But no, control it, go back, give it back to Rodri, give it back to Laporte, and just do it properly. And that's the patience. I was wondering towards the end, will they say, okay, we'll go for it now? But they won't. Because
it's funny you
like
say
we said,
that.
Losing that goal on the break is still a... They still had to avoid that at all costs. And this is how these games are going to be. They're going to have to be close and tight and maybe slow at times because City need to control it that way and stop the opposition. Look, we know how good Palace are on the break because we've seen it over 180 minutes. They wait for those opportunities. And they had a few early on and then towards the end of the second half, City controlled it. And then they had more towards the end of the game when City, you know, like we mentioned earlier, were giving the ball away for goal kicks and throw-ins and stuff. But I thought City overall controlled that. And I think when you do an analysis of the game, you have to kind of take that into account because if City had rushed it a bit more, again, I'm sure this all ties into Guardiola's thinking on the subs, but if they'd have pushed a bit more, they'd have found the ball going the other way more often.
Yeah.
Palace having more opportunities to score. And they're good at that. Particularly when it comes to playing City. It's a good kind of matchup for them.
It's funny you mentioned that because you just reminded me of it must have been about 65, 70 minutes again, or I was thinking, City are doing really well to not turn this into a basketball game. And as much as the quality that City have got, I'm fairly sure they would win a basketball game. You don't want to take the chance that they won't. They're much more likely to win by keeping it controlled and tight and taking one of three chances instead of having to take four of 10 chances. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like the other thing, and again, in terms of if you start talking about, oh, well, Liverpool's running is this and that, it sounds like clutching at straws. But again, if City had a won, Liverpool's running would be the same. And look, okay, of the two teams right now as of today, who looks more capable of winning all their games no matter who they're playing? You'd probably have to say Liverpool because, like we've just said, City are dropping more points now. And even though it's only seven, it's more than they should be really in this race. And I don't know why that is. Liverpool are winning and they look like they got a head of steam up. But I was thinking, that's why I was thinking last night about being a big game, you know. Yeah. So I don't think City got too many really difficult games left. Apart from Liverpool, obviously. Look, we can get into them all. Wolves away will be a stinker. That'd be really horrible.
I don't fancy that, yeah.
No. That'd be really, really hard. You could look at West Ham away. I think that's penultimate week of the season. And maybe if City reach the FA Cup final, it might get pushed forward or pushed back or whatever. I mean, you can worry about games like that. But Brighton at home, Watford at home, Newcastle at home, Villa at home. Villa at home on the last day. I don't know. If City needed to get a result there, I think they'd get it. So that's City's running. And Liverpool, okay, all the teams that Liverpool are going to play, apart from City, are worse than them. because that's where they are. So you would expect them to win. But obviously Arsenal on Wednesday night, when everyone's going to go to the cinema or wash their hair or whatever, that's a difficult game, which they may well win. They've got Tottenham. I know people will laugh, and for good reason. They've got Man United. And then they've also got that. They've also got that layer of difficult games, like semi-difficult games that City have got, like Wolves at home. I think that's the last game of the season. Now, that would be tricky. Again, you'd probably say they'd get that result on the last game. Villa away. Now, that gets tricky. And obviously, you've got the Gerrard element as well. You know, you could see if that was City with that Villa game, and, you know, City fans would be worrying about it all day. You know, oh, no, under the lights at Villa. It's going to be really difficult. This storyline, it's going to be Gerrard this, Gerrard that. Liverpool have to go through that as well. So they have got a tougher run in. And, you know, I'm not coming here to say, look, City are going to win the league, so don't worry about it. Because I think last night, if they had, they would have taken a big step towards it because it would have been one of the bigger games out of the way. Yeah. And look, Liverpool, they're okay as it stands. They're probably in better shape to win even those tougher games. And maybe City are in a shape to drop points even in lesser games. But like, I just don't think this, you know, this City team aren't going to give up. And even if we suppose that one of the bigger things is some kind of complacency after going top of the table by so much at Christmas, which I don't think is the case. Now, you know, there's a danger of it being kind of ripped away from them. I think they'll react well. And, you know, I think if this team could react to basically that Spurs Champions League result and then go and beat Spurs 3 or 4 days later, they can basically do anything.
Yeah.
So there's so, like I say, when you said it all comes down to that game at the Etihad, it doesn't. You know, it's going to be big, but it doesn't. You know, there's still so much to go after that. And all it takes is, like, Salah misses a penalty in the last minute, and all of a sudden, Liverpool fans' heads are on the floor like City fans are today. It can change so quickly. Like, we've seen so much. And the other examples I mentioned, obviously I mentioned Gerrard's slip, but obviously before the Aguero goal, United were 8 points clear. Like, it looked so many times titles can look done and dusted, even later than they are now. And they're not. But obviously City just need to, whatever's going on, if it's just studs weren't long enough or post was too thick or whatever, or just bad luck, just get better luck in the next game. But
yeah.
Well, I suppose after the Rodri handball, you can't really complain about that. But it's just, I don't feel like City are playing badly. I don't feel like last night was more of the same. I feel like they did very well in a difficult game and it wasn't quite enough. And look, if they don't win the league because of it, then
so be it.
We'll see. And look, at the end of the season, maybe I'll say, look, maybe at the end of the season, maybe they're like 10 points behind Liverpool and we go, fuck, what have they done? Like, how have they managed this? This is a disaster. They should have signed Kane, blah, blah, blah. Maybe this is where we go. I haven't got a read on it. My thoughts on it at the moment are not that clear. But the only clear thoughts I've got on it are, long way to go.
Yeah.
Like it was in January.
Let's finish with this from Daniel on Twitter, who says, 4 wins, a loss and 2 draws in our last 7, 7 wins in 7 for Liverpool. And the reason I want to finish on that is because I can't decide, Sam, whether the context we should be looking at that in is that City have dropped 7 points in their last 7 games, or City have dropped 7 points in their last 19 games. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose the recency thing is more of an issue, isn't it? Because you're the thing. Is that going to keep happening? Is something going on? I really don't know what could possibly be going on.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, City aren't complacent. And yeah, okay, it'd be great if they had a striker, but they were top of the table by miles without one anyway. So they don't need one. It would certainly have made things easier. You know, maybe if they had Kane, they'd have been, you know, that would have been the difference last night. But they've shown they've got enough options to win it. But yeah, I mean, look, we're talking to ourselves around circles now. I guess we'll just have to see. Like I say, Southampton's an interesting game. It's a bit, look, nobody wants to go out of the FA Cup, but it's a bit of a free hit because you don't want to drop any more points in the Premier League. And then look, even for us, from the point of view of a podcast, from the point of view of a fan base going, what's going on? If they were to go out against Southampton or win or whatever, we can say, okay, we've got a better idea of where they are now. International break. Hope the players get through it. And then, you know, Burnley's the big warm-up in it for Liverpool.
Yeah, and then there's the Champions League draw to come as well. So there's the potential, isn't there? Of what's the maximum? Is it 4 meetings with Liverpool in a row? That could be fun.
I mean, at the moment, I feel like bring it on because nobody would relish it anyway. I don't think this morning anybody would relish it, and I'm sure Liverpool fans are kind of smelling blood a bit. But can City? Well, I mean, look. City have been better than Liverpool over the last few years, but Liverpool are still getting results. They're still being more clinical, aren't they? So I over those four games, I would back City to be better in like three of them. But would they win three of them? I'm not sure. But
they'd only have to get to Anfield once. So
That's nice as well. Anyway, I'm sure it will be Ajax away. And who's left? Chorley in the FA Cup? Still get there.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Liverpool's fixtures as well. I'm sure they must play Norwich about six times between now and the end of the season. Anyway, that's how it works, isn't it? That brings us to the end of this week's Why Always Us. Thank you for sticking with us and our hoarse voices. And thanks as ever to Sam Lee.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic right now for just £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.